T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. We'll talk Bucks Raptors heavy this hour. A little bit more on Keston Hira yet here in the 9 o'clock hour. At 9:30, we'll get Ryan Wohlstadt from the Toronto Sun for that perspective. Matt Velasquez joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And that's kind of what it seems like, Matt, is that this series, even though it is the Eastern Conference Finals, even though these are the two best teams in the East, the sense that we're getting from guys here on the station and listeners is that this series is not going to be all too challenging. Off the bat, Matt, how do you see this one playing out between the Bucks and the Raptors?
You know, I would caution against that, saying that it's not going to be too challenging. The Raptors were the second best team record-wise in the NBA all season. They've had some great wins, some great contributions from up and down the lineup. We haven't seen as much of that from their bench during the playoffs. But you know, all it takes is one game, and you guys can get hot and start to get back towards their averages. This team is a really strong defensive team, a really capable offensive team with Kawhi Leonard at the center of all of it. So I would caution against that. Obviously, the Bucks played really well against the Celtics. The Raptors maybe played worse than you might have expected against a really tough Philly team. So I think that going off of those series, it's pretty normal, especially if you're in Milwaukee, to expect the Bucks to roll. But I would caution against that because this Raptors team is really good.
What possible edge could Toronto have on Milwaukee?
I think that if their bench can get going, they can really have a lot of guys who can hurt you. If they get OG Anunoby back, which is potentially something that could happen during the course of the season, that he's another guy you could throw at Giannis, you could throw at Middleton, you can really throw at anybody with the way that he is able to be versatile defensively. I think that if Kawhi can get going, and if the rest of the guys around him are willing to shoot and they're able to kind of exploit that attention that the Bucks are giving to Kawhi, then maybe they can, they can get a couple games. I mean, we've seen them come into five-star form and get a win. Not very many teams were able to do that this year, and that was before they even got Marc Gasol. So, I think those are some things that stand out to me just kind of off the top of my head.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. See, I don't want to be this confident. I don't want to be this overconfident because Toronto's been the team to me that I've been worrying about facing the most. And I was rooting for the Sixers in that last series because I think Toronto, at least with their starters, can match up with the Bucks. But I look at the depth and I look at their bench and I just see a team. And also the regular season Bucks that we saw, Matt, where they don't lose consecutive games, where they beat teams that have beat them prior. I just look at this team, and as good as it would be for us to, hype up the drama and say, this could go. I don't see the Raptors winning four times against the Milwaukee Bucks. That, Matt, is unfathomable to me.
I mean, I don't see it either. I mean, I could believe it, but if I'm making predictions, that's not what I would expect. I think the Bucks, just what they've done, the body of work, the number of different lineups they can go to, now getting Malcolm Brogdon back, to full rotational opportunities, maybe not minutes. He'll still be on a minutes restriction at least to start the series, but to be a normal part of the rotation in some capacity throughout the full series. They just have a ton of weapons. They can go small. They can go big. Even when they go small, they play big because they have Giannis. They have Mirotic. They can put just so many guys in different positions. Their bench is playing really well, and maybe some of those guys come back to earth a little bit. Just because their numbers have just been so great that, sustaining them could be difficult. But I still think that I would agree with you in saying that I don't see the Raptors winning four games against the Bucks in this series. you know, if I had to put money on it.
I'm expecting Lopez to have a better series this one than he did last one. You know, kind of 0 for 7 sticks to my mind that last game of the series. But still, I'm expecting more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's expecting more. I think his defense was generally pretty solid. Boston isn't the best matchup for him, considering that they just generally didn't play a traditional big man. Having Marc Gasol means that, you know, the Raptors are going to ride him because he provides a level of defense and just, you know, scoring help, pick and pop, you know, just a veteran presence that, you know, they really like. And a lot of options for them, but that's a good matchup for Brook Lopez, at least better than Al Horford was with the Celtics. And so if he can actually, you know, match up with him on both ends of the court, it'd be interesting to see, you know, how both teams decide to play that matchup, whether Gasol guards Giannis, like sometimes other teams have had centers guard Giannis and had their nominal power forward on Brook Lopez so they can stretch out and defend him at the three-point line. But no matter what, you know, Brook Lopez should be in a better situation this series. It's just a function of will the shots fall.
Matt Velasquez, Matt underscore Velasquez on Twitter. The last series against Boston, it looked really bad after game one because it looked like the Celtics had figured out everything the Bucks did well. It looked like they had an answer for. Now they made adjustments and played better. As Budenholzer said they had to do, they did, and they obviously win that series in five. What are the Bucks going to do to prevent game one in that series being copied in game one of this series? Because they came out just not, it didn't seem ready to play. They played right into Boston's hands. You knew it was coming. There was nothing to prevent it. And now you've had a week off between games, and I don't know what the answer to this is, and I get asked this on some radio hits too. Is the week off good or bad for the Bucks? How do you see what this week off will do for Milwaukee and their chances tonight in game one?
I think that game one against the Celtics was actually a good thing. I know that a couple of players said that. Giannis mentioned that it was an embarrassment and that they don't want to suffer that kind of embarrassment again, and that they can't just lose game one in that fashion or in any fashion, really, and be able to bounce back against a team as good as the Raptors. Whether that's true or not, you know, is a point of debate. I mean, if they lost game one, could they still win the series? I think they could. But when you're a player, that's the mentality you want to have. I mean, you want to believe that you have to win every game and that you need to bring the requisite level of competitive fire or whatever you want to call it to that game. I know George Hill mentioned that, you know, they remember that game and they don't want to feel like that again. They don't want to have the same mistakes and come out with the same, you know, lethargy or whatever you want to call it. They got hit in the mouth. And they want to be able to start the series on a strong note. That's what they worked all season for. That's what they won 60 games for, was to start a series at home, and if it went seven, to end the series at home. And so they're trying to take advantage of that home court and hold it down and be able to, you know, put the pressure on the Raptors.
Giannis battled some injuries, especially toward the end of that season, the regular season, had a little bit of an ankle that was bothering him. How's he doing? How's his health? Is that ankle healed?
Yeah, the ankle's fine. At least that's what Mike Budenholzer said. That's what Giannis has indicated. You know, he tweaked his ankle a little bit towards the end of the Celtics series, but he played through it. He's had plenty of time to relax, to recuperate, to get treatment, all those types of things. There's no reason to believe that he is in any way impaired heading into this series.
We haven't talked much over the last couple of weeks about the future of this team, as we're living in the moment. But it's been a topic that's come up a lot, whether it was Bledsoe who signed an extension and even Brogdon or Middleton. Now that they're in the Eastern Conference Finals, that they got to this point and we think they'll get even further, has the play of the playoffs changed what you think the Bucks want to do this summer? Or did they have that plan going in? Maybe if they're going to keep Middleton or even Brogdon, they knew that before these 6 weeks.
Yeah, the owners have indicated that they'd be willing to pay the luxury tax for a winner. I mean, that's the time, if you're any NBA team, that's when you would consider paying the tax, or you'd want to pay the tax, when you believe you have a team that can compete for the NBA championship. Otherwise, you are literally just giving all of your competitors money. Now, you're throwing money away with that luxury tax. And, you know, to keep this team together, to be able to re-sign some of those top players, Middleton, Brogdon, potentially Lopez, maybe Mirotic, you know, just be up and down the roster to keep these guys together, you're going to have to go into the luxury tax. That's just going to be how it is. And with the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, as the number one seed in the East, getting this far has really vindicated the approach they've taken, the guys they've signed, the way that they're playing. And so they have a very real chance of getting to the finals and of potentially winning the finals. I mean, I think that that's fair to say when you have a team that's a 60-win team that is playing as well as they are and is really firing on all cylinders. And so, you know, they have these real opportunities in front of them, and it would make sense, you know, maybe depending on how this series goes, but it would make sense that with them being this close to the ultimate goal, that they've proven that this team can do it or can at least compete for it or get close to it. And I would expect that they'd be willing to pay the amount of money it would take and potentially even go into the luxury tax to keep these guys together.
Follow him, Matt_Velasquez on Twitter. He'll be covering this series as he's covered the team all year. When you get to Toronto, my boy Chuck Freeman will be there with you. If you could show him some spots to eat and enjoy, as he's got a very, I would say, negative opinion of Toronto, Chuck.
Well, again, I haven't been there in many years, so I don't think I don't, they're number one. Their basketball history isn't very good. We got a much better history of basketball, but we'll see. I mean, last time I was in Toronto, was the whole downtown was closed. So
will you show them around, Matt?
I will. Toronto is one of my more favorite NBA cities, and I've only been there when it's been really cold. I was there during that polar vortex, you know, stretched in January, and I still was willing to walk like 10 minutes outside to get food, and it was totally worth it. And so I will take Freems under my wing as much as possible. I will try to lead him to all the right places and eat all the right food and drink all the right beers.
Hey, how can I go wrong with Velasquez?
You've got Maddie leading the guide.
Oh, how can I? Yeah,
you can't go
but
wrong.
But you know what? He said he was there. It was freezing cold. The polar vortex. That was in July. He was there.
Oh, come on. Yeah. It's 60 miles north of where we are.
Boy, I've never seen someone defend Canada as much as you have.
It's a great town. It's a great town. Enjoy it. Take full advantage.
Okay. All right.
Well, just pointing out where it is on a map isn't a defense of Canada.
I just feel like anytime I try shooting down or I do shoot down Canada, you got a comeback for it.
All right, Matt, go play in your room. Mommy and Daddy got to fight this one out.
Well, good luck.
All right, man.
Thanks, Matt.
See ya.
Matt Velasquez, Matt_Velasquez on Twitter. With the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can subscribe again, jsonline.com, and we appreciate his work. You can listen to him throughout the season and the playoffs on the postgame shows as well. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Do want to remind you about Perkins. Today, they've got the buy one, get one deal, where you go to PerkinsRestaurants.com, sign up for their e-club, and you'll get a weekly email coupon sent right to you, where when you get a meal, the person you take gets a free meal. An additional meal at no charge. That's how free meals work. They've also got the Friday Fish Fry this weekend, and one of their more popular promotions is when kids eat there for no charge. That's Tuesdays last night. And again, this weekend on Saturday after 4 o'clock, kids eat free after 4 p.m. at Perkins. Check it out all throughout the greater Milwaukee area. We'll talk to Ryan Wolstack coming up from the Toronto Sun. I want to talk to him again about Kyle Lowry and why he's been, I think he, like, we forget he's on this team. We talk Kawhi, maybe Siakam, and then it's Kyle Lowry, which we forget about.
Remember a few years ago, Lowry was going to become a free agent. And he re-signed with Toronto, but it was like, boy, the Bucks needed a point guard at the time. It was like, maybe they should be in the mix for Lowry. Yeah. But, you know, it depends on what Kyle Lowry, what day it is for him, because some days he just is not on the basketball court.
Historically not good in game ones and historically not good against Eric Bledsoe. So we'll see what happens there. We'll talk to Ryan Wolstead, Toronto Sun, 9:30. More on Keston Hira and the night that was last night. It's Chuck and Winkler here on the...
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review. Brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotions going on right now. Definitely more than when I got drafted and all that.
think it happened about 2 years ago, and everything that's happened in between, it's been quite the journey, but I'm really excited for this day, or for this night.
2-2 pitch. And that is rocketed off of Eichhoff, and Keston Hira will have his first major league hit in his first major league at-bat.
That's what we're talking about.
I thought it was great. It was kind of what we think about Keston. It's kind of what you think of and what we've thought of him as an organization. So he just came and hit a couple line drives and drew a walk and did his job on defense. Exactly what we were hoping for.
And Hira, a clean single to left field. Aguilar will stop at third. And on his debut night, Keston Hira has been aboard three times, two hits, and a walk.
It was unbelievable. No, it's been a long day, but it was so worth it. And just being back with, you know, the guys here and you know, getting a win tonight after a great pitching performance by Woody and the bullpen. So I'm just really happy to be here, be part of it, and, you know, looking to play more.
That Keston Hira, of course, thanks to Fox Sports Wisconsin and also the incomparable Twitter feed of Tom Haudricourt for providing the audio that you heard there. The Brew Crew Review is the Brewers win 6-1. And to me, and I think to a lot of people, it was all about the debut of Keston Hira, who is still, it's still weird to see his name in that lineup because he's one of the young guys. He's one of these David Stearns rebuild guys, and he's here with this team that has veterans on it. And now you've got one of your draft picks over the last couple of years immersed into that lineup.
Well, it seems like he's fitting in just right. He comes in there, he's got the nicknames down, he's calling Woodruff Woody already, and he's on a first name basis with some of these guys, so it's good to go. He got in the locker room after the game, and they were dumping water and ice buckets on him, and they were giving what they do this with young guys when they on their debut, if they have a debut like that. They doused him with every liquid available in that locker room last night in Philadelphia. So they gave him and that's because they liked him. And, you know, he had a big game, so that just says that he fits in with these guys.
Brewers win 6-1 here last night, 2-for-3, did walk once. He's batting .667. Do you think he'll end the year over .600, Chuck?
Yeah, I think he's got a shot at least .500.
Do you think he'll win Rookie of the Year and MVP?
Well, let's let him bet .500 first. I think he's got a shot at .500. .667 might be a little much, but I think he can go – I think he can become the first baseball player to bat .500. I really do.
When do they move him up in the lineup? He hit seventh last night.
Put him in the leadoff spot.
Put him in the cleanup hole.
No, put him in the leadoff. Hey, get
this
Kane.
Keston Hira we're talking about.
Get Kane out of there. He's no Keston Hira. Put him in the leadoff spot.
Should his career be minimum four or five years? I think we'll look at him as one of the best pure hitters in Brewer history.
I think they are making the cast for him right now to build a statue outside of the stadium next to Bud Selig and Robin Yount.
They already put him on the Wall of Fame.
Yes.
They took Bozzio's face down.
Because he was a Cub pitching coach.
Yeah, and they slapped Hira up
there. The Walk of Fame? Yeah, oh, absolutely. He's going to have his own seat. His parents got season tickets already to every Brewer game, whether or not he finishes his career here.
I like his parents.
Yeah, I do.
Did you hear him? I love when Sophia gets the chance as the Fox Sports Wisconsin reporter to interview the parents.
Sure.
As they're watching their first game, and she asked Keston's dad about the phone call that he got, and he said he was asleep, and then when he got a phone call, he thought, oh, no, Keston's hurt. Because he wasn't even thinking that here in the middle of May that him getting called up to the big leagues was an opportunity. He must not have watched a lot of Travis Shaw.
I'm always impressed how these guys get to the stadium from wherever they are. Because in the minor leagues, you don't know where you're going to be when they call these guys up, especially for their first shot. He was in New Orleans, so I guess that's not so hard to get to. New Orleans to Philadelphia, and he got there, and he flew up. And sometimes these guys got to take all-night flights, but his was a case where he flew up yesterday morning. His parents flew in from California to be at that first game. That's always impressive, too, because some of these parents, they might be from some small town in Iowa, and they're trying to get to Miami or wherever, and they got to take 16 connecting flights just to get there. But they all made it there safely, including David Stearns, who flew out for the game.
Oh, I would be at that game, too, if I was Stearns, to watch my high draft pick perform just 2 years in the big leagues.
Now, he said he was going to be
drafted.
He said he was going to be there anyway. It just was a coincidence, but strange coincidence that he was there for Keston Hira's first game.
So there's no chance he gets sent down now. He's here.
Well, listen, we've already put the statue in front of Miller Park. He's got a Hall of Fame, Wall of Fame. We trash Chris Bosio. What more is there for that guy to accomplish? He's going to hit 500. So he's here, right?
All right.
We've set the bar high.
Let us try just for a minute to look at this realistically with not jumping off the ledge right away in this scenario, as I often do. I always leap right into the pool.
Is he the best foreign player to play for the Brewers? Well, I mean, foreign
from
background.
California.
Foreign background.
We're all from foreign backgrounds.
Well, his parents are original. His mom is Japanese and his dad is Chinese. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I think he's 50-50. 50% Chinese, 50% Japanese.
We've already gone all in on Canada. I'm not going to.
No, that's not trashing. I'm just saying
he's
descent.
He's born in California.
No, I'm saying his descent.
Some of these other guys are from, like, England. We don't talk about them.
Oh, never mind.
Here we go. I'm from Ireland. You never talk about me as a foreigner.
All right. Never mind. Can't go down that road with you.
Nick says, you shouldn't go down that road with anybody.
Oh, jeez. Don't be so sensitive on that.
That's not what I'm doing. Nick says, how can Chuck bash Toronto? He lives in Lemira. Lemira!
Still in Wisconsin. Still have access to a great city like Milwaukee. I bash Lemira. Except for the golf course, which is one of the best in the state.
The other thing I want to talk about with the Brewers here before we get to Ryan Wolstad, Toronto Sun, is Corbin Burnes is a reliever now. And he's doing very well in that role. And he is somebody that I wanted to be a starter. I think he's got really good starter stuff. He didn't show it when he was here initially. Mm-hmm. But when he's in the bullpen, he's very, very good. 4 Ks last night, 2 innings, couple of hits. And even though long-term I want to see him be a starter, if he's better as a reliever and the Brewers have like a right-handed complement to the Josh Hader role, I don't know when you tinker with it. I'm not just talking this year. I'm talking long term.
I don't get the comparison to Josh Hader. He's not a right-handed. Hader is in a league by himself. Hader is in a league by Corbin Burnes is not the guy Hader is. Hader is he's firing bullets coming out of the bullpen. Brewers don't have a guy like that. They haven't had a guy like that in forever.
No. You're right. Hader's an elite pitcher. I think with Burnes, when he first came up, you know, he's the other arm. He's a righty, and so you can use him in those situations where you are using Hader in the left.
Like a two-inning guy, like in the sixth and seventh inning.
I'm talking about a guy that can come in at any spot in the game and be reliable. I'm not talking about Josh Hader is an all-star. He's going to be an all-star again. But Burnes can be another one of those guys. He can be in the Knable,
yeah.
Jeffress, you know, Hader thing. Burnes can be one of those
guys.
Yeah,
and he proved it last year, too. For some reason, he can't start in games. And you know, he gives it the home run ball. But, yeah, I like him in the 6th, 7th inning. And you know what? I'm fine. I know you and I talked about this at the beginning of the season. You didn't want him flip-flop between starter and a reliever. Hey, whatever's going to help this team win games. And right now, Burnes' best role on this team is coming out of the bullpen. So keep him there.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Back to the Toronto Bucks series, which starts tonight. Game 1, Fiserv Forum. So I think it's fair to say we've been overlooking the Toronto Raptors. Ryan Wolstad, Toronto Sun's going to come on and tell us why we shouldn't be. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. That's our Giannis. Goes out of his way to compliment a team, accidentally buries another one. Says they cannot afford to lose game 1 against Toronto, which is tonight at Fiserv Forum. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. By the way, Freems, I think you do it correctly. I've heard others. It's not the Fiserv Forum. It's just Fiserv.
Yeah, it's Fiserv Forum.
But I've heard a lot of people say the.
No, it's Fiserv Forum.
Fiserv.
And one day we'll just call it the Forum.
Yeah, I don't know if that is going to stick.
Why?
I think it would have happened by now.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we're paying respects to the great, fabulous Forum in Los Angeles.
Or we don't want to do it while the Bradley Center is still trying to crawl its way back from the dead.
Yeah.
Like it's super shredder.
It's hanging on.
Yeah. Here we are broadcasting inside the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. We go on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, talk to Ryan Wolstad, Toronto Sun, covering, of course, the Raptors. Ryan, how are you? Thank you.
Hi, Ryan.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. This series, do you think Toronto played all that great in that series against Philadelphia? I mean, some of the games I saw, I didn't think they brought their best game. I think they're better than that.
Yeah, they definitely are. There have been a lot of points in these playoffs where they've not been the team that kind of was one of the, you know, two or three best in the NBA after Marc Gasol was acquired. They, you know, once he came aboard, they shot up in offensive efficiency. They started making more shots. Their defense was better. Everything was really good. And I think against Orlando, they were really good. But then again, Orlando isn't the same caliber as a Philadelphia or Milwaukee or even a Boston. And then in the Sixers series, it was such a weird series. There were some games they were really good, and a lot of games they were not so good, and even a couple games they were very bad. And the main thing was the offense was really shaky at times, and Kawhi just bailed them out. I think the one thing that they did really well against the Sixers, who are a very talented team, is the defense was very good for a large portion of that, especially in games 5 and 7.
We look at the Raptors team, and when we start naming off players, I think sometimes we forget all about Kyle Lowry, who has had struggles in the first round of some of these playoff series, but has also been very good at getting himself, you know, to the free throw line and has been a valuable part of that team. What kind of Kyle Lowry can we expect against Eric Bledsoe, who he's not historically done well against?
Yeah, I think it might be different than the guy Bucks fans remember from the last time these teams played a couple of years ago. He doesn't have the same scoring load that he did when it was kind of him and DeMar DeRozan doing all the scoring. Now, obviously, Kawhi is the main guy, and Pascal Siakam has emerged, and Gasol got his, and Danny Green's a great shooter. So Kyle's kind of taken he'll take what comes to him, and it's kind of sometimes in some ways it's a waste because he's one of the best pull-up three-point shooters in the league. He's not quite a Steph Curry or Damian Lillard, but his numbers for the past bunch of years have been similar in that he's going to take a ton of them and make a ton of them. But that's kind of changed this year. He's more of a facilitator, and I think he's going to need to be more aggressive. But as you said, against Bledsoe, he hasn't had success. I don't think he's had much success against Malcolm Brogdon either, and I definitely know for sure because I've covered a couple of series, he's really, really struggled against George Hill. So even when they go to Hill off the bench or whatever, it's going to be a struggle for Kyle because Hill was the better player when the Raptors and Pacers met in the first round and went 7 games a couple of years ago, and Hill actually outplayed him. And then when Hill was on Cleveland, he really gave Kyle trouble as well. So I think that's a huge advantage for the Bucks having a bunch of guards that can really neutralize Lowry.
You know, Lowry, a few years ago when he was a free agent, I was like, man, that's a nice get for anybody who goes out and signs him, and he ends up staying with the Raptors. But, man, he just hasn't been the player I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, but he does all these little things that justify the value. I know they gave him a huge contract, 30-ish million a year. But he makes winning plays. He won them. You know, Kawhi was the guy in that series, but Lowry also won them that series. He was probably the second best Raptor. He did everything. He got, for a guy that's 6 feet, to get a bunch of offensive rebounds, to make the key passes, to take charges. He led them. He's a bit like Ilyasova, except 6 foot version. He's been awesome at taking charges. He's just always in the right spot. So, yeah, his statistics aren't what they once were, but he still drives winning at a higher rate than a lot of other players. And it's just kind of it's a bit under the radar what he does.
Talking with Ryan Wolstadt, Toronto Sun, Wolstadt Sun on Twitter, the bench for the Bucks, I think, is a big advantage in this series.
Yeah.
And they sort of helped seal game 4 in Boston when all of our top guys were in foul trouble. They not only kept the Celtics at arm's length, they extended that lead and kind of took away their will. Toronto only going 7 deep in game 7. What's going on with some of those guys? Why they're not? Are they just not good enough to get playing time? Have they lost Nick Nurse's trust?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, it's funny. Last year, Toronto had the best bench in the NBA, and Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet led the way, and DeLon Wright as well. And then now they've traded some of that depth. When they made the Marc Gasol trade, they traded DeLon Wright. They traded Jonas Valanciunas, who was coming off the bench behind Serge Ibaka at the time. Norman Powell has been really up and down. He's had some really good stretches this year and some really not-so-good stretches. It's just, yeah, the bench just hasn't gotten it done. Jeremy Lin has been a huge bust. They thought he'd be... They got him when VanVleet was injured, and they thought he'd be a big help, but he kind of forgot how to shoot and how to run a pick and roll, so they just haven't been able to use him at all. And with Powell so inconsistent, really the only two guys that Nick Nurse has been trusting are Serge Ibaka, who was really good against the Sixers, and VanVleet, who kind of hasn't had a good playoffs but has come on lately, which is a good sign for the Raptors. But I think they're going to try to get Patrick McCaw, who at least has experience of playing in the NBA Finals and is a really disruptive defender. They'll probably try to get him some minutes. But there's a big Milwaukee Transit going by. But, yeah, basically, if they had OG Anunoby, who's been hurt all season and just had his appendix removed, that would be a big help for the Raptors. But unfortunately for them, it's unlikely that Ananobi makes it back for the series, or if he does, it'll be very late in the series if it goes that long.
You know, they scrapped Dwayne Casey, who won Coach of the Year. Nick Nurse comes around, and he wins 58 games. What's the biggest difference between Nurse and Casey? Has there been an upgrade at all?
Yeah, they're very different. I mean, Nurse has looked for a more free-flowing offense. He's mixed and matched a lot more in preparation for the playoffs. Like, he tried every lineup under the sun, and also with Kawhi sitting out so many games, and Lowry missed like 15 games. So they had to really get creative and just mess around with the lineups all season. And that's stead them well for the playoffs, where they had to do some different things, like playing Gasol and Ibaka together, going big. And I just think that they've sped things up. He's taken more input from the players. They've defensively, they're a little different. They're a little more aggressive. They look to get out and run more. There's been little things like that, but the changes work for the Raptors. Like, they were very good before, obviously, and now I think when you add a guy like Kawhi Leonard, it's going to make a huge difference. But considering this is Nurse's first year as an NBA head coach, I think he's done a really good job. And it's interesting that Budenholzer and Nurse were the two guys that the Raptors really liked.
Yeah.
And then now they end up facing each other now.
And Nurse, his name was kind of shout out down here, too, during that coaching surge. Ryan Wolstead joining us, Toronto Sun. I really think the Bucks are going to make this a quick series. And we're trying not to give the Toronto Raptors any less credit than they deserve. They've been the team that I think is going to give the Bucks the biggest challenge all season. But here we are now seeing how the Bucks played against Boston, knowing that Toronto struggled a little bit against Philly. And I think Bucks in five is a likely scenario. Why do you think we're overlooking Toronto, and how do you see this series playing out?
Well, I mean, I'm not too far off. Originally, I thought it would be Bucks in five, but I've changed that to Bucks in six. I just think the Raptors can play a lot better. I don't think they're as good as the Bucks, so I think they're going to lose. But I think they're a lot better than, and we kind of mentioned this off the top, like, I think they're a lot better than they've shown. At some point, their resume is going to come through, and they're going to hit those shots. Nobody hit more open shots in the second half of the season than these Raptors, and nobody's really missing more in the playoffs than these Raptors. So I think that'll come around. They have Kawhi Leonard, who's about as close to as good as Giannis as you can get in the NBA. He's playing out of his mind, obviously. But like you said, I just think the Bucks are too good. They're, you know, I don't know how they're going to stop Giannis. Siakam's not 100%. I would have liked to see the Raptors with OG Anunoby, who's a really big body, who can really defend, great athlete, but just another guy to throw at Middleton or Giannis. I think it would have been a more competitive series. But I think the Raptors will do better than people think, but I think if they keep missing the threes, it very well could be five games. But I think they'll find a way to stretch it out a little more and at least make it competitive.
Do you think, however Toronto plays in the next couple of weeks, is going to have an impact on what decision Kawhi Leonard makes? Or is he gone? Is he staying? Do you have any idea?
Nobody has any idea. I don't even think his uncle Dennis might not even have any idea. The Raptors definitely have no idea. Like, nobody really knows. He's kept it so close to the vest all year. I think it's going to come down to the Clippers or Raptors, but it depends how much he wants to go home. I know that the Raptors have done everything possible they can to make him happy, and I don't think making the finals would move the needle that much. I think he knows that if he stays, this is a team that's going to compete to get to the finals every year. They might not make it, but they'll be right there in the East. So I think he already knows that. Obviously, it'll help a little bit if they could upset the Bucks, but I think basically it's just going to come down to, at the time, he's just going to make his decision. He's going to factor everything in. But like I said, the Raptors have done everything possible to keep him happy. They did a masterful job. I know some people didn't like the load management stuff, but it kept him happy. It kept his people happy. It kept his body right and allowed him to have this huge playoff. So I think he really trusts the medical staff, and that's a huge thing. And he likes his teammates. But, you know, if a guy wants to go home, be close to family, then you can't really stop that, as teams have found out over the years.
Ryan, appreciate it. Keep up the good work. We'll look forward to your coverage as well from the Raptors' perspective, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the series.
Yeah, you too, Ryan Wolstead, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today! Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. So that was a cordial conversation with a Canadian. In the 8 o'clock hour, and we've put the podcast up, you can see the video on Facebook Live. We had a gentleman in here, Alan Carter, Toronto newsman, that's down here in Milwaukee trying to figure out what this town is all about. Think of him as the Fox 6 Ted Perry of Canada, even looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been tweeting his adventures at A. Carter Global. He just took a picture of Pfizer Forum next to the Bradley Center, There's like one section of stands left. He says the Milwaukee Bucks play in a brand new stadium. The carcass of the old arena remains next door. The remnants of the stands bleaching in the Wisconsin sun.
Yeah, he was a good guest. We'll try to get him on some other time, maybe on the phone line. But yeah, he took shots at us. I took shots at Canada, and that was it. We went back and forth for 15 minutes.
Jake tweets in, I do call it just the forum. Also, I didn't know Bart was such a Toronto homer. Heart emoji Wisconsin / MKE heart emoji.
Yeah.
I'm not a Toronto homer.
I just don't
think you're underrating a very jewel city of this country continent.
I feel like anytime I say something bad about Canada or I say something good about our state, I don't get the backing from you.
I love Wisconsin.
Okay, I don't feel it. I don't feel I get the backing from you. I feel like I'm just...
I've lived here my whole life.
You know, when
if I didn't love it, I'd be gone.
I felt when he was in our studio, you were not backing me. You were not on my side.
No, I was just playing traffic cop between you two.
No, I feel that you were laughing. You were on his side, and, you know, he's going old school. You, as my partner on a Milwaukee radio station, were on Canada's side.
No, what I did think was, and you guys can listen to this interview on the podcast, I thought it was very funny that after 2 minutes, he could tell you were still kind of stuck in the 80s.
So? And what's so wrong with that?
I thought it was funny.
I just think that you didn't... You want the Bucks to win in the series now. I'm wondering.
Come on.
You want the Bucks to win, don't you?
Yes.
You're not cheering for the Raptors.
No, and
I'm starting to wonder now.
Chuck, I even called my parents last night.
Uh-huh.
And I said, are you watching the game? And I said, I'm bumming out right now because my Portland Trailblazers are down 6. I'm even rooting against Golden State right now.
Now, why would you root against Golden State?
Because I think they're going to be a tougher out than the Trailblazers in the finals.
So you're with me, like your brother, okay, he's part of the Golden State Warriors.
I want Golden State out.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
And I told you, if my mom was coaching the Chicago Bears, I'd be all against her.
Yep, I want them out.
Yes.
I want the Bucks to have a nice, smooth Portland Trailblazers
NBA when we have these visitors on our radio station here, I want you backing me. Don't be siding with me and laughing about me being old school.
I just want everyone to
have
like me. It's my biggest flaw.
Well, you're not going to get me to like you, and my fans out there.
You're already a lost cause. So I move on to strangers. It's Chuck and Winkler on the fan.
If you ain't jump on the wagon, you ain't rocking with us. MILWAUKEE, Milwaukee County, stand up and go crazy with me. Let's go.
Fear the deer. Go, Bucks, go. Just Chris. You can find him on YouTube. Just Chris. Go, Bucks, go bonkers. Artist Just Chris on Twitter. And we have put a link to this on our Twitter page. 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's not playoff time until songs start getting made.
And it's not a series until a visiting team wins on the opposing team's court, which is not happening tonight.
This will not be the last time you hear this track on this station. I'm telling you right now. Just Chris on YouTube. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Ryan Horvat. It also won't be the last time you hear KJ in West Dallas. Aloha.
Hey, KJ.
What up, dog?
Mahalo. Mahalalulu.
Check out. Hey, man, I love that track by Just Chris. That's nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I will.
Yeah, keep playing that. Hey, Bart, you know you're my boy, right?
Yeah, cuz.
All right, so I'm not trying to throw shade at you, but Chuck's right. Man, you sound more like a Canadian dude this morning than that Canadian.
Chuck thinks Toronto's where the North Pole is. Toronto is level with Oshkosh on a map.
Do you feel like every time I mention something about our great country and our city and our state, or I trash Canada, Bart's not doesn't have my back?
Yeah, he's not on board with you, man.
What's the deal with that?
I'm
a little weird.
Kind of strange, man. Yeah. I just feel like I don't know.
Come on, player. Don't do me like that, dog.
Oh.
Are you sure you're not like a hoser?
You know I'm not.
A Canadian
KJ,
hoser,
KJ,
eh?
KJ, you've been listening to me for a long time. You know I'm not I'm not about that.
Okay. All right. I hope not. All right. Well, aloha. You had a great show.
All right, KJ. Thank you.
Bagalulu.
Scott Farrell, by the way, on the Bill Michaels Show tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
You know, you just took away like 30 seconds of Horvath's airtime here. We did.
That's always worth it when I get to hear that drop.
This is, he lives this whole show. He doesn't care the rest of our show. He just wants this better.
My grandma's at home right now, like, oh, maybe he's going to get on today. And then I don't. And she, her whole day's ruined. It's okay. She's just in a nursing home.
Your day's ruined, too.
Horvey's, I would say he's a top three producer we've ever had on this show.
We've only had like five.
Top three?
We've only had three.
No, we've had five.
We've had with five you and me.
Oh, with you and I. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I was a producer on the show.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
Freems, who was a better producer of your show as far as like you being the host, myself?
My 10 years?
Yeah.
Was it me or Horvath?
Bart, you weren't really a producer. You were kind of like the third man in the ring.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was like...
Because we knew you were going to eventually move into this job, so...
Yeah. All right.
And we know I'm screwed, so...
Horvey, you have no shot.
Yeah. That's true. I'll be in New York or Chicago.
We did the Ask Chuck and Winkler contest. Did you DM a guy yet or no?
Not yet.
All right, make sure you announce it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, congrats to...
Oh, and congratulations.
People keep tweeting in.
Gotcha.
So we had Summerfest party passes or power passes. If you didn't win them today, come back here tomorrow.
So anyway, yeah, we'll do that. And then I don't know if you guys saw it last night. Chris Sale, he's having a brutal season. Last night he strikes out 17 batters in just 7 innings. It's a career high. They're playing the Rockies. Leaves the game with a 3-2 lead. And then the Rockies rally against Boston. They win it 5-4 in the 11th inning. So the guy strikes out 17 batters, a career high. Still doesn't pick up the win.
I saw when he left, it was like 4-4, right? How do you strike out 17 and your team not win?
No, they were winning.
Oh, they were winning?
Yeah, they had the 3-2 lead.
Because I saw it flashed on the ESPN bottom line last night. It said 4-4, Sale, 17 strikeouts. And I'm like, what?
It's crazy.
So weird. If you strike out 17 in 7 innings, that's of 21 possible batters,
mm-hmm.
or 21 possible outs.
Yeah.
So 80% of it as outs came via the strikeout?
So what was his pitch count? Why did he come out of that game? If a guy's striking out 17, I don't care what his pitch count. I mean, anything less than 200, he's staying in the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty cautious with him. I mean, he throws gas and he's often injured. A guy I know had some money on that, which brings me to my next point. Mm-hmm. Iowa, the legislation allowing Iowans 21 years and older to wager on sporting events at any of Iowa's 19 casinos and online if they visit a casino once in person to prove that they're at least 21 years old. That also legalizes bets on fantasy sports through websites and apps like DraftKings and FanDuel, which was the worst part about living in Iowa. I'd want to play FanDuel or DraftKings, and it was like the one state where you couldn't. And now all of a sudden they have legal gambling, so it's...
Oh, something, a reason to visit Iowa, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, show trip possibly?
3 hours and 32 minutes to the first casino in Iowa that's going to have a sports book.
And what's...
I checked it out already.
What's great about it is I got my start in small town Iowa and I hated it and everybody I work with kind of knew I hated it and I talk about how I wanted to get back to the bigger city and now they've all been DMing me and texting me like, bet you were still in Iowa. And I said, no, I gamble illegally. Why would I have to come there and do it legally?
Yeah.
All right, show road trip. We'll stop at Horvath's old Iowan stomping grounds.
Uh-huh. KSIB in Creston, Iowa. Population 456, I believe.
We'll go back to that radio station.
We can go there.
We can read some obituaries.
I'm all good with that, yeah.
And then the three of us girls will go to the casino and bet on some sports.
Yeah.
How about that? Down with that?
It's 3 hours and 32 minutes away. Yeah, that's nothing, man.
Let's get her done.
Better than going 10 hours to Canada.
Yeah, that's true. Tomorrow we'll have it all for you. Game one tonight, Bucks-Raptors. We'll have you covered. Ben Golliver, Washington Post, going to join us around 9:30 to talk this series in the Western Conference Finals. Bucks-Raptors, keep it going. Bill Michaels up next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.